This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And hey, Jennifer's back, but Joseph's out. Joseph was busy shooting his latest short film this past weekend, which I was actually honored to be a part of, along with Hal Lublin and Amy Vorpal. And we had a great time, but Joseph worked, I think, about 24 hours a day for 2 days. So.
Wow.
He's rested, taking care of life, getting back into some things. And we even adjusted our release schedule today. So thank you all for being patient. But Jennifer, you're back as well. And we're happy to have you here.
I am happy to be here. If you hear any crunching in the background, it is pirate booty that my children are consuming. My little Ewok children.
Yes. So
excuse that sound. But no, I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, happy to have you back as well. Hopefully the kids are having Mantel mix like Bad Batch, Omega and Wrecker there. But we understand it's summer months. I totally forgot when we're getting ready to record. It's officially summer season. Kids out of school, that kind of thing. I don't live that life. You do.
Yes. Yes. I used to look forward to summers as a kid, as a parent. It's a little bit different. Got to do the crafts, you know, whatever I can, video games, Star Wars, Lego games, whatever we can do to survive.
Hey, you know, that's me as well. So maybe it's all the same. We're going to dive into some news here shortly, breaking news from a long time ago. And because of our recorded schedule, we actually got to address some of news that broke this morning. We're going to get to address it here in a second. Before we do that, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download on a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That is a way to support the show and also support your ears and your Star Wars love and soul. As always, we're doing our current Ask segment. This is where we're highlighting something for you to check out, and love you to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/ForceCenter. We've got some goals over there. If we reach 2,200 a month, we're going to do another live exclusive Star Wars ranked episode for patrons, then release it to the public afterwards. They had a lot of fun doing these sequel scenes last time out. Also, we have the Indiana Jones and the Perilous podcast there now. Joseph and I will be recording our Kingdom of the Crystal Skull deep dive. And let me tell you, I've got notes because I love what that movie has to say about a lot of things. And we're going to take a deep dive there and then release all those to the public after Dial of Destiny. But you can be part of the journey now if you support over at patreon.com/ForceCenter. And one of the things that you all made possible by supporting is Jedi Beat, the YouTube edition. Jennifer Land had taken some of her wonderful episodes she recorded in the past, the Jedi Beat, the Happy Beeps episodes, and kind of reworking them into mini YouTube, NPR meets Star Wars stories, docs. They go a lot of places. I'm excited. Jen, you've been working on them, and I know you're excited too.
I am very excited. I am in the thick of it right now. I've been editing slowly every day, and I'm digging into the archives of Google, and just trying to find all the images that I've come across over the past however many years when I last recorded this, right? Now I'm working on the Mos Eisley Cantina one, and oh, there are so many great visual gems that I am loving finally are being paired with the stuff that I talked about on my podcast. And now you'll be able to see it. And it's just pretty amazing to revisit that story.
Yeah, I saw you post that you were doing some like B-roll reshooting almost, you could call it that. And it got me excited. I absolutely have been an unabashed fan of your work for a long time. That's how we met. Thank I was you. A fan of your work and reached out to say, come on, Jedi Alliance. But also, I can't wait for more people to rediscover these and then go back and listen to the other episodes on the podcast feed. So that's coming soon. July, what do we say? July 17th, I think we're finally going to release them.
Yes.
At the same time, you know, we don't put no pressure on you. James Cameron takes 22 years to get Avatar's movies out. You do what you want there. It'll be all right.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really trying to make my deadline. So we're going to make it happen. Yep.
Lovely. Lovely deadlines will be met. Anyways, all that is at patreon.com/ForceCenter. We're going to get to the news here in a second. Star Wars and Life Adventures is our catch-up section. Jen, you don't have to reveal the secrets of your vacation. I know you took some time off. But you're back. Did Star Wars find you while you were out?
Star Wars has just been finding me, like I mentioned, with the Jedi Beat. That's really the biggest, has been the biggest Star Wars thing in my life right now. And just, it's amazing to see how many photographs they have of that time period, the 1970s, 73, 75. You know, I'm trying to find pictures of George Lucas in 1975 working at his desk. Not a lot. There's a lot of him. I found a great shot of him with Martin Scorsese, but that's like 1977. I think that was like on a lot. It's just him with Francis Ford Coppola, their relationship, Gary Kurtz, obviously all the things that we've seen from A New Hope, the behind the scenes stills and things like that. So it's just been really fascinating to see how much there is available. And also there's I'm missing some things. So we'll have to.
Yeah.
Keep digging.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to go back and I'm thankful we have pictures to draw from, but like you go back to my childhood, people are like, well, you know, you have any videos of you as a child? No, there's like one 16 millimeter film of me as a kid. Like, and I don't know. Right. I don't know where that is. Documentation, a little different back then, but excited to dive in and see all that. So that's good. That's a good adventure. Work.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's a pretty good adventure. How about you?
You know what? For me, I've been so wonderfully buried in Indiana Jones, which is now something we definitely discuss here with the Perilous Podcast. I've been taking a deep dive into the young Indiana Jones Chronicles. I'm doing some work for a YouTube company out there right now. I keep not saying why or who it is, but it's New Rock Stars. I'm doing some work over there. Great group of folks behind the scenes there. And working on some Indiana Jones Chronicles stuff for them. Did a project for Fandom on Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. I've just been lost in that show, and I've become obsessed with it. I won't shut up about it, Jen, because it is George refining his love of storytelling, which is in an interview. You dig into it. There's some great interviews with him and Rick McCallum talking about why they did the series and the things that they put in the series. And one of it is George is like, cool, I found out I wanted to do this again. And do it in a more hands-on fashion. Obviously, he was involved with Last Crusade and you know, Howard the Duck and that kind of stuff. But Radioland Murders came a little bit after this. I was part of it. But this, and Joseph and I have been talking off air about it. Young and Indiana Jones Chronicles is the reason we have the prequels. It's what built the prequels. You could say it's the they walked so the prequels could run type of thing. And it's been fascinating. But it's also been fascinating to go back and rewatch the episodes and. You know, they're 22 hour and a half movies now. So it's a little difficult to just sit down and watch all of them. Can't binge them. And just discover what was in them and how, man, I keep saying George Lucas went hard in these episodes where it wasn't just, you know, I'm teaching some history. He's like, I have some thoughts on religion, politics, power, Americans' obsessions with violence, power, and war. I have some thoughts and I'm going to put it into a show. And
wow.
It's been stunning in a wonderful way, and it's been fascinating. So Star Wars, it's definitely present, and studying every little detail I can of the series has been great. So other than that, seeing concerts and living life, shooting short films, I had to do some stunt work for it, which was great. But now my body is really sore and beat up. So happy to be sitting here and comfortably in the studio to talk Star Wars.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait.
I'm telling you, folks. Yeah. Joseph's got the other short film he worked on, starring Phil LaMarr. And that one looks great. And, you know, I'll let him tell you when they'll be available to watch and how that even happens. But wonderful time shooting it. It's great. It looks wonderful. Shot beautifully. So you're excited for everyone to see it there. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, stars two talented people and me, Hal Lublin and Amy Farfel are great. I got to fall around on the floor, but you all see that soon. Let's get to some news, Jen. We've got some breaking news to get to. I saw this first on Variety. It's now everywhere. And I'll say here up top, I'm not shocked by any of this. I'm not surprised because, you know, the WGA strike, the potential SAG-AFTRA strike, the DGA made a deal, a midnight deal that a lot of the members aren't happy. Whether or not that vote completes at the time of this recording, I don't think it's 100% complete, whether it's a yes or no on that deal, we'll find out. But things are happening in the industry, and already things have been delayed, so this shift of a film release schedule is not shocking. But Disney has done a big schedule shift of all their movies. But of course, Star Wars is in that. And depending on how you look at the story or what coverage you read of this, it's kind of being called a new Star Wars movie added to the slate. So to explain, Jen, I apologize. I wish we had kind of one of those electoral college walls on election night.
Steve Kornacki, exactly. I need that, the visuals.
Yeah, you posted it here. So I'll try to recap and then you jump in first here with what we think. So again, like I said, a lot of this Captain America Brave New World has moved back a couple months. Thunderbolts, Blade, Fantastic Four. The big one on the Marvel side is The Avengers, The Kang Dynasty got pushed back an entire year from May 2nd, 2025 to May 1st, 2026. That's significant because sliding into Star Wars, the film that had been set for a December 2025 release, has been moved to May 22nd, 2026. Also, by the way, so many numbers and month on my screen right now that I don't know what I'm looking at. So we'll come back to that one. We believe, we never confirmed, but the Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy film starring Daisy Ridley back as Rey, that seems to be that film. But again, we don't know. Another Star Wars film is now set for release on December of 2026. And what date was that? I think it's around the same time of the other one, December 16th or so. And then we've got another Star Wars film, December 17th, 2027. So to recap, a Star Wars film in May of 2026, a Star Wars film in December 2026, and a Star Wars film in December 2027. Now, the one that was originally scheduled for 2029, I'm not in this list that I have in front of me. There could be other lists with it. So we're assuming that that's still going to happen as well. So Jen, boom. I feel like Jim Cramer on Mad Money. What do you think about these dates and these months? Where do you want to start first?
Well, I think it's very interesting that in the midst of this writer's strike, which I just assumed that so many things were going to be pushed back. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting two Star Wars films in 2026. That's surprising to me. for a lot of reasons. And number one, because is the script finished? is it just that they're so confident that it's going to be finished by the time the writer's strike is over that they'll be able to go into pre-production? I mean, it obviously is a few years away, so they do have time. But as we know, this making movies takes a lot of time, and you have revisions, and you need casting and visual effects and all these things that go into making a film. So moving the Daisy Ridley one from December to May, to me, makes it seem like they're betting big on whatever this new December 2026 Star Wars film is, because that's kind of like their prime slot, right? I feel like it's, I don't want to say that they're not as confident, but maybe they believe that the December one is going to be like a really big blockbuster, while the May one is, I don't want to say a smaller story, but not gonna hit as hard as what they think, box office wise, the December one is gonna do. It's a big risk.
It's a big risk. And the big one again on the MCU side, Avengers: The Kang Dynasty. And I know there's a lot of things going on in MCU, potential casting changes or issues and all those kind of things. It's not MCU center, but you all know what's going on over there. But to move that one to May 1st, 2026, it's hard for me not to have a little bit of that deja vu with Solo: A Star Wars Story in May 2017, three weeks after a big Marvel film. And so I therefore agree with you. I they're all, to me, and I know you agree, so they're all blockbusters. It's Star Wars in the theater, but they know that risk. And maybe my hope is they've learned, and the fact that they maybe have to do this now versus Iger saying in the past, it was my decision to hold to May with Solo, and that ended up being a mistake. This is different circumstances with the strike, without a doubt. So might be a case of they have to do that. But Jen, we know like part of the problem wasn't just you had a Marvel movie and a Star Wars movie Solo in the same month. People go to both movies. People will go see them. The theaters, going to the theater wasn't the problem. It was the marketing. It was the end caps at Target that didn't have Solo toys. They had Avenger toys. All those kind of nitty gritty details is maybe what is they've got, hopefully can learn from last time. I don't know if they will, but I think so. Maybe. I don't know. I hope.
Yeah, I think so. And I think with Solo: A Star Wars Story, there were a lot of people who were just, why do we want, we never asked for a Han Solo story, right? Well, whoever asks for any of these films, but like people, I don't want to say fatigued because that's overused, but people just weren't as excited to see young Han Solo. People weren't sold on the casting. Obviously we loved Solo. I loved Alden Ehrenreich's performance, but there were a lot of people who were just like, I don't need to go see this film. Now with the new one with Daisy Ridley, I think people are going to want to go see her as Rey again. I think that they're going to have a lot of people really excited to see her back on screen reprising that role. So I think in that way, it's kind of like, it's a smart bet. I think that they know that the audience is there and people want to go to the movies. I feel like there's this push now. I've been trying to go to the movies more with my kids. And I think just people in general, we're ready for it. We're hungry for it. And I think that it's an exciting sign for the industry. And I hope it proves to be a successful bet.
Yeah. And these dates, are assuming there's no more, continued labor strife or, another full blown pandemic that keeps everyone out of theaters. This decade, which we're now almost halfway through, which is crazy to think, has been full of a lot of these weird, special outliers that no one could plan for. So I think this is part of that as well. Now, I think you made a great point there. And I think this is a point that, will be echoed out by a lot of folks is that yes, without a doubt, I will die on the hill of Solo: A Star Wars Story. In fact, it's affected friendships I've had. it's a film I love so much. It's a story I love. It's characters I love so much. But I know that's not universal. I don't live so deep in the bubble that I don't understand that. And yes, we know there's a lot of people angry in cars. They're just people who didn't connect with Rey as much as other people or the sequel trilogy. So you have them as well. But I guess I'm swayed, Jen, by going to conventions and seeing people dressed as Rey, seeing people lose their minds when Daisy Ridley walks out. I think you're right. I think if this is the film that comes out May 26, 2026, it, I think, could on paper hold its own against MCU's like Kang Dynasty. MCU is a behemoth in terms of just a franchise, but it's at times listing. And I don't even think that's accurate. I don't know MCU stuff as much as other people. I don't know if it's fair to say that the franchise is listing in the water, but it's a little, it's not as Teflon. So maybe we're in an era now. And it's not, by the way, it's also not a competition between Marvel and Star Wars. Everyone's going to see both, I think.
Right.
But all that to feedback to your point. I think you're right. That's pretty big. The return of Rey, a new film, a new Jedi Order. I think that will be able to hold its own.
I agree. And I think you're right about the MCU not being Teflon. So we will see what happens. It's the battle of, no, I'm not going to go there. It's not a competition, as yeah, I tell my kids. It's not a competition.
And I think that's one of the things I think I will be on about when discussing this outside of Force Center of you know, apples and oranges. You get to have both if you like them. You can make a fruit bowl. Okay, you just put them, you get to enjoy it. Price, going out to, you know, it's expensive to go to theaters. Yes, that's a concern as well. And maybe some people will have to choose which one they want to see in the theater. That's understandable as well. But that has, to me, less to do with Marvel and Star Wars and just the industry. It has to do with life right now. Mm-hmm. We all make, you know, choices at the grocery store. Do I want the food I need, or do I want to get the food that might, you know, make me happier? Anyways, that maybe I'm working through some grocery store stuff there. we got the film December 2026, and then we got December 2027. We'll leave the 2029 potential film off the table. This kind of makes sense, and a lot of people are going to spend some energy on trying to predict if it's the Filoni or Mangold one. It makes sense to me that the Filoni one might come first now in December 2026, and Mangold, who is has said he's, you know, starting to wants to write it, can't right now. He's a WGA member, and then he's got a project lined up. He's got his Bob Dylan biopic, I think, coming up next. So that kind of lines up. So my question, Jen, I guess, in pulling this out here, if Filoni and his film, the New Republic era film, is in December 2026, do you have any thoughts on that? And the Mando world and the streaming world, are we going to see some sort of shift? Never. I don't think we'll see a full shift back into only films. Why would you do that? I don't want that. But do you see some of that era of streaming television wrapping up and leading into that, which, of course, will allow other stories to emerge? But it just seems to be sitting in a right, you know, comfortable spot to end Mando as we know it as that movie hits theaters.
That makes so much sense. I was trying to figure out what property it could be, what story it could be that's already kind of been in the works, right? For them to move it to December 2026. That makes the most sense. And I think, again, they're betting big on Ahsoka is going to hit, and the Mandoverse, which has already been a proven success. And it makes sense. And you're going to get so many different types of people that would go get Grogu in the film and you'll get everyone. but no, I just think it makes the most sense because they've been working so hard to establish that world on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a natural progression to end it in the movie theater. It would be really special. And I think that to me is whenever they have these December movies, that's what it's about, as we've talked about, bringing generations of fans together to experience it in the movie theater together over the holidays. It's a very magical experience. And I think that if it's Dave Filoni's project, I think that it could work really well.
Yeah. Grogu during the holidays. I mean, in the theater.
Right.
That's a
gold.
That's a win. Uh-huh. That's a win. Yeah. And I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting anyone out there that the film means Mando is done, or the Mando verse, as it's called often, is done. I think we've even heard Favreau and Filoni say the stories can go on and on. Favreau, I don't think, has not indicated that he wants to end. He wants to spin it off in different directions. I don't mean spin off shows, but just where the story can go. Mando season 4 seems to be going in a different direction. I love Filoni's comments about his film, or any Star Wars film, needing to have kind of a event that changes or affects the timelines and the eras that they're in. Citing, you know, the Death Star blowing up A New Hope, it didn't end the story. It just affected it and affected the galaxy. So we could go on, but it just seems where we're at going into 2024. We're not, I don't necessarily think Mando 4 is in 2024. So we go into 2025 with Mando 4. Maybe you come back again with Mando 5 or some more shows or Ahsoka 2 or all these things, Skeleton right. Crew 3. And then it all kind of leads to that. And then that way streaming can become something else, but that's probably a discussion for another day. But you know what I'm talking about? I'm just like, cool, maybe now we get a new era of streaming programming based out of maybe some of Leslie Headland's work with The Acolyte or other shows that we don't even know about yet.
Exactly. I really do think that that's kind of what they're trying to experiment with, is kind of like moving, right? From you get it on streaming and then you can experience it in theaters and then you can come back to streaming. It's just going to be this kind of like cohesive thing between the two mediums. Yeah.
And never leave Star Wars. Go from streaming to the theaters to streaming to the theaters. I mean, I'm like, I'll follow as well.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I'll follow wherever you go, Star Wars, wherever you go.
There you go. The final film, of course, we're talking about is December 17, 2027. I don't have much to say on that because I feel it's probably Mangold, and Mangold when he's ready and Mangold when he has time. And of course, we are in the Dial of Destiny era right now, where the fifth Indiana Jones movie is about to hit the public. We'll see. You know, I know there was the reactions and the lukewarm 5-minute ovations versus the raucous 5-minute ovations. Not surprised that any movie like Indiana Jones, don't forget Revenge of the Sith was first shown at Cannes. That's an interesting, I'm not worried about that. I'm ready to have a lot of fun with this movie, but there's already, I've seen some articles already of, you know, well, I don't know if Indiana Jones 5 isn't well received, what does that do to Mangold and Star Wars? And you know what? James Mangold does not seem like the kind of guy concerned with what you think about his films, other than, hey, I hope you like it. If not, I'm going to keep doing what I do. But that could be me. We'll see.
Yes. And I would not, standing ovations, I think Blonde got like a really long standing ovation. And we know how that did at the box office.
That's a great point. Oh, God bless anyone. Yeah. We tried to watch Blonde in this house and Grace did not keep it on very well. Yes, that is an excellent point of what goes on. Well, we'll have more to talk about when the release schedules are firmed up and titles and names attached to them. And who knows, maybe shifts again because, you know, the strike's not ending yet. Doesn't even seem to be close to be ending in terms of WGA, and yeah, no writers, you get no movies there, unless we have the first ever Star Wars improv movie, which I don't think will be the case, or the first ever Star Wars reality show movie.
That would be something.
There we go. We almost had it with Solo, if you believe some of the reports from the first directing team, but that's a different conversation. Let's get to the news we were going to talk about today already. It's time. Oh, nope, that's another headline. Sorry. I read last week's headline. We are finally got a big surprise is what I was going with. Surprise, surprise. It's a Star Wars video game in disguise. This past weekend, Lucasfilm, Ubisoft, and Massive unveiled Star Wars Outlaws, billed as the first true open world Star Wars game. This was first announced way back in January of 2021. Way back. That's another lifetime ago already. This reveal happened at the Ubisoft Forward presentation at the Xbox showcase or something. I honestly really don't know. It was so many video game conference names. Like I lost it. I know E3 doesn't exist anymore. That's the only thing I really know. Right. Point is, we got a trailer. We got some gameplay. We're going to talk about it here. The game will be centered around space scoundrel Kay Vess and her pet pal Nix and a sexy BX commando battle droid in a trench coat named ND5. And set in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, you'll get to take Kay and company around the galaxy in her ship, the Trailblazer, as she tries to pull off a big heist all in the name of starting a new life. So, Jen, thoughts on the reveal itself? This was not anticipated. Maybe someone on the inside, maybe there were some reports that something was coming soon. I do remember some burblings, but the fact that there was a trailer, we were actually on set, and Joseph was really busy, so I didn't want to tell him right away, but when we had a downtime, I pulled him over, and I was like, hey, director, come over here. They released a new video game trailer. So what do you think about the reveal, the surprise, and what do you think about the time period and character and some game thoughts?
I was very surprised. Even though it had been announced, like there'd just been really not much, I don't think, about this on our radar. And at first, I thought this was Amy Hennig's game, But right. Obviously it's not, because I know that she's working on a game with Skydance New Media that I believe is still on, right?
I think there was a new name added to the team from the old Star Wars 1313 thing. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I know that I was really excited about that game because it was similarly going to be about a scoundrel, a rogue, right? That was like the main character. And it was going to be an open world Star Wars game, which is what I saw people really, really excited about online talking about this new game, which got me excited about it. And at first I thought, let me just watch this trailer. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. And I liked that it was a surprise. So now we can get hyped about this project now that we've seen a little bit of the gameplay and seen a trailer. So I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the surprise. That's kind of how I like my Star Wars news now. I don't need people to do the hot scoops and all those things anymore. There was a time that I've rolled around in that pig slot, but now I just kind of like seeing some things on Twitter and going, what's this? And seeing Star Wars news and official Star Wars news. I like it. I love the trailer. But I just like, it was a fun surprise. It was, like I said, we were so in it. I know, covering it and just being aware of it and being aware sometimes of news forthcoming. You know, and I know it's different with like a movie, like, hey, the Rise of Skywalker trailer is going to drop on the halftime of this game. That kind of is fun and builds its own anticipation, but this is kind of a fun thing. The trailer was great. I enjoy it. I think, I understand. We'll talk about the time period here, Jen. I like that it's set between Empire and Return of the Jedi. That's kind of where the story, the storyline for the comics is right now. It's a shorter amount of time, but it's still different enough. But I also understand some people want to go to completely different new eras. I can get behind that as well. And I think you will at some point, either backward or forward. But what do you think about this time? Is it too original trilogy generation centric? Are we just spoiled, Jen?
Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? I don't mind that. I love this time period. This is the time period that I want to bathe in these waters. And I love it because we get to see things like the AT-ST, right? That we saw, I think it was in the gameplay, or I don't know if it was the trailer, but I love getting those moments. It just feels like great. I don't even know if it's fan service, but it makes me happy. I'm willing to go to new time periods as well, but that to me was like, all right, I think I have to get this game. I love Nyx, the little axolotl type creature, adorable, the sexy droid, very surprising, but it works.
It's amazing. Yeah, all you need to do to be sexy, kids, is just wear a trench coat. Because then I just saw so many people thirst trapping over this droid. It was hilarious over the weekend, but part of the fun. Yeah.
that's the world that we're headed to with AI. But you know, and this has made me think about you when I watched it. It reminded me of Red Dead Redemption a little bit. Would you say that? And that, like, L.A. Noire, because you're not just going to be, you know, beating people up and using your blaster to survive. You also have to use your wit and some strategy to make your way through this world. And that got me excited for it.
Yeah, I am a giant fan of Red Dead Redemption 2 and 1. 1 was a groundbreaking game. 2, I joke, but I kind of mean it. It's still one of my favorite movies of all time. And that isn't just about the open world aspect. And I have been frustrated with the Star Wars Jedi games that they're not my favorite versus other people who love them. And there's a lot that they're beautiful games. And I really do love the story and the characters and think it's great. And I enjoyed reading Battle Scars based on those characters. Grease is actually, his love of food is raising him higher on my depth chart of characters I love, but lifting him higher, I should say. But yeah, I do want this. I do want to really, truly crawl around the Star Wars galaxy. And I know it's a little bit more difficult. Red Dead Redemption 2 and other open world games usually are in one place. You're not taking your horse into hyperspace. I've always wondered in Star Wars, like, how you really are going to do that. Mass Effect, which I did play the first game, had that feel. You could travel around the galaxy, but still felt like you could move, even though it's, for me, that first game was on some rails a little bit. So I'm curious about that, but what really will make it work, much like, you know, even though I don't like a lot of the gameplay in the Jedi, the Star Wars Jedi Survivor Fallen Order games, the characters and story keep you coming back. That's the key. I really like the time period. I really like the story they're setting up with this character, Kay Vess, portrayed by Humberly Gonzalez. This scoundrel in this time of the galaxy where that's kind of how you might survive or need to survive. If you're not in the upper crust, if you're not deep into the empire, this is might be what you have to do. And that's why it's a thriving underworld during this time. And then this is a heist to get out of it. That kind of works. That's not unlike some of the things that are in the Red Dead series with Arthur Morgan and John Marston, and so it's a Star Wars redemption tale, and how you go about doing that is going to make or break this game without a doubt. I'm not saying anything that's super insightful or you know, enlightening, but that's why I am very hopeful. I'm in on the story, and then I'll crawl around this world.
That is a great point. That is a great point. And in fact, when I was watching, I think it might have even been the gameplay. I don't remember which one it was, but it really felt for a moment. I was so tired. I actually forgot that it was a video game and not a new Star Wars Disney Plus show. I was just like, okay, well, this is interesting. Now we're getting into it. Oh, that's right. This is a video game. And it only happened when I kind of saw a close up of her face. But it really is spectacular looking. And I think that's what's going to make or break it. Like you said, the story
indeed. And one of the things that's going around, and I think we should just dive right in. I'd love to get your perspective on this, Jen, is this is a big game, big story, and you can't change the lead character. You can't customize Kay Vess. She is who she is. And without a doubt, of course, that's going to bring out some folks who love to stoke the flames of culture wars and all those kind of things. And a lot of the angry folks in cars, and they're going to make a lot of money being angry over this. But I just don't understand. I mean, that's the point. I don't understand. And I'm not meant to understand those who would fight the idea that you have, a female lead here in this story, Kay Vess. It's an intriguing story. As much as I love Red Dead Redemption and I get to walk around as Arthur Morgan or John Marston, I and a lot of fans love a character in the game named Sadie Adler. And a lot of folks, myself included, would love to see a third game based around her. It's to me, I would love to hear about the representation angle from you as well, Jen, but it's to me a good character. Hayden Versio. I love playing as Hayden Versio. I don't need it to be such a fantasy that I feel, I think it's important that you can connect to the characters. Again, that's part of the issue here. But for me as a fan, I just want a great story. And if I'm traveling around with Kay Vess and Nyx, that has value to me. And that's something I'd love to hear and play out her redemption story. I know that's not shared for everyone, and I'm definitely no hero for doing this. I just want to play a great game, and if I love the character, I'm on board. So, getting your thoughts on that, Jen. I don't like to often wade into those murky worlds, but it's like it's just so unsurprising that you have a group of folks being, I ain't gonna play no girl, and it's disheartening, but it's kind of part of the landscape, unfortunately, these days.
It was kind of surprising to me to see that discourse online. And I did see that because, I mean, people love Lara Croft. They've played that game, no problem. People, I just don't understand. Are they trying to stoke the flames? I mean, this is a really cool character. She's tough. She's smart, crafty. It just seems like kind of silly. About the being able to customize a character. Well, you can't customize Link in Zelda. You can't customize Nathan Drake, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, so what? There are other games, you know, where you can customize your character. And maybe the next one, maybe the one from Amy Hennig, you will be able to customize your character. But that to me is like, okay, there are plenty of other options for you to do if you want, like Lego Worlds, if you want to be able to totally customize your character.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm in terms of representation, I thought that was surprising for me, and it was also exciting. I'm like, yeah, all right, because we did have Cal, who was in the Jedi Fallen Order Survivor game, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a male protagonist. Why not? It just seems like such an old discussion that we're having right now, and it just makes me wonder if people are just trying to be contrarian, and you know what I mean? Yeah. They're just trying to stoke up some drama.
Absolutely. And you're giving a lot of examples of, where you can't change things, like you said. Now, I'll say this. I understand maybe on the surface level of, I'd love to just have a customizable character and take it around the galaxy. I totally get that. Mass Effect had that too. I also think, and my note to those expressing it, and I say note as if I'm finger wagging, I apologize if it comes off of that. But in these times, with the landscape, with those out there angry in their cars on YouTube, how you discuss and how you ask for a customizable character is important to me. Don't leave that back door open to those kind of discussions from these kind of folks. I understand the, like, hey, why wouldn't it be customizable? But maybe when you look out the window, maybe it's not the time to dig your heels in on that. when you see right. Those just being, like, I don't want to acknowledge that this a character like Kay Vesk is out there. I don't want to give someone else the opportunity to connect to that character. I need it to be 100% me. Is just something to be aware of. Is the only note I'll say. Because again, I do understand for a fleeting moment that might seem like a fair request, but it's just one of those things that's big on my mind and heart. And this is going back to like the Kelly Marie Tran stuff, where your thoughts on Rose Tico were not needed. Just the support of Kelly Marie Tran was needed. And I've butted heads with a lot of people in the past on that. That's part of the discussion going on. Just wanted to address it. But in more happier news, Jen, we got to see some gameplay. We got to really climb around this world. Gameplay, it's not necessarily what's actually going to fall into your lap when you have it on your PS5, your Xbox, or your PC. But I really did like what I saw. I'll say some of the fighting mechanics seemed normal, if that makes sense, meaning I already found in the 10 minutes it kind of was repetitive, but again, so is my beloved Red Dead Redemption 2. You kind of just going through same sequences again. It's the story, it's the world, and how much you feel pulled into it, both the story and the landscape. And so I'm not worried at all what I saw. I really liked what I saw. I know you don't have as much time to play games as maybe you used to, Jen, but any thoughts on the gameplay?
Yeah, the gameplay actually sold me, I think, more than the trailer, because it did show that you are doing more things than just beating people up, which is fine. I love Mortal Kombat, but like for me, I want to be able to do different types of challenges. I love that you got to negotiate with this Mon Calamari character. Do you want to bribe? Do you not want to bribe? Like, that stuff is really fun for me, as well as all the other challenges. So yeah, I was really excited to see that there was just different type of pacing throughout the game, I guess is what got me sold on it. But it also was terrifying, like to creep up on people. I'm never good at that. Do you want to send your Nick's character to go and press that button and then you can sneak on by? Oh my gosh, my hands are getting sweaty just thinking about it.
In Red Dead, go sneak in and drop some ingredients into their brew so you can ruin their beer. I just start throwing grenades.
Right, exactly, me too. Oh god, what a way to go out.
But I really liked your note there. Yes. Like I said, some of the action, I was like, yep, I get it. I've seen it before in games and might become repetitive. But I also love what you're talking about of being able to kind of craft the story. Again, mentioning Red Dead, perhaps maybe the final time here today. Apologize, folks. I played with the highest honor possible. I pet every dog and every horse I find. I help every person. I try to play with the highest honor possible. And so if I get to do that, there's wanted levels, which, kind of harkens back to even the GTA games as well as Red Dead. But those kind of games where, your choices matter. Slipping around the corner and getting caught matters. So it's fun and exciting and a little more off the rails than Fallen Order and Survivor for me personally. But I know a lot of people love those games, so not taking that away from anybody. And a lot happening here. So exciting stuff. Jen, here's the final thing. The game is set for 2024, which seems like a long time from now, but that's a year, only about 6 months away.
Yeah.
That's the time period that we're I'm starting to make 2024 plans.
Oh my gosh.
Time.
Oh boy.
Time has no meaning.
So close. So close. And I guess that's also why this was the biggest shock for me, because it is right around the corner. They are finalizing it as we record. And it's kind of surprising that they were able to keep all of this under wraps, you know, that there were no leaks that I know of. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And it's one of those things where I'm going to probably wait to see, is this game worth me buying whatever I need to buy, right? Which might be an entirely new system, unless it's available on the PS4, which it's not, right?
I think your PS4 becomes a bookend to novels up against, or just a Blu-ray player. Yeah, no, it's definitely, and I know, you know, Joseph's not here to say it, but it's like he's probably soon eventually going to get a PS5, but you know, one, it was difficult, and two, that's a decision. Talking about the decisions that we were mentioning up top in the show of, you know, sometimes you have to make those choices in life, and the fun doesn't come first. So I know maybe not everyone gets to experience this game right away. So we'll keep that in mind, but it's on my list. I'm excited. Bring it on. I want to see if this can match, you know, I'm not going to hold up any game to a game I loved before. That's not fair to the game. Try to engage with it as itself, but you know, you're promising me this huge open world. I can't wait to crawl around in it. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
All right. More news on the way, but before we do that, I'm going to have a audiobook for you to try out on us. It's our Four Center Recommends. And today we're recommending Path of Deceit by Tessa Gratton and Justina Ireland. Yes, we here at Four Center are really behind on the High Republic, but a lot of you out there aren't. And if you want to catch up, here's a way to do it. You can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/Four Center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Four Center for your free audiobook. All right, quick break on the other side. We're going to catch up on some Ahsoka news here on Four Center.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Force Center. I'm Ken Napsok. That's Jennifer Landa. We are in the virtual studio having fun talking about Star Wars news. And while we were unable to record last week for a follow-up, we got some follow-up news on Ahsoka. We talked a lot about Ahsoka in the Empire Magazine article last week. But Jen, we have got the Ahsoka release date confirmed. The Ahsoka series will hit our eyes, ears, and souls on August 23rd. We had known August. I think late in the month was a good guess, but it's official. This is it. So this gives us plenty of time to get ready for the Ahsoka report. Joseph and I will be doing that. Jen will stop by if she can. We'll be doing our Force Center deep dives into the series. Cannot wait. Excited for this. But before we even get to the series, Jen, I need to ask you, how are you going to get ready for the series? Do you have any plans to catch up with Clone Wars or Rebels or anything like that? Or are you just going to watch?
You know, I wasn't going to. And then I thought, no, I think I will. So I think I'll certainly revisit Rebels for sure. Maybe some of the Clone Wars. I feel like I did not that long ago. So that's not as much on my list. I think the most important thing for me is to just honestly kind of keep my distance, keep a safe distance from the online discourse. Because Twitter particularly, I find that a lot of the negative thoughts get pushed up, right? The negative hot takes. I saw some stuff about Hera's makeup, and I just like, I don't want to go down that. I don't want to go into the show already with like negative baggage, right? Like I want to go in with an open heart. I don't want to be checking off boxes. I just want to let me just enjoy the story, right? Without being tainted by what other discourse has been happening online. It's a fine line because I do like to check in, but I don't want it to tamper with my experience.
Yeah. It's only gotten worse over time. And I think you agree. It's not just simply that, hey, I need everyone to love Ahsoka. It's just the manner in which a lot of this stuff is discussed. It's just exhausting. And it's not just Star Wars. There's life, politics, important things. I love social media. It's changed my life in a lot of ways. It's changed all of our lives, of course, but you know, it gave me a career. I was able to connect with people I would have long since lost contact with. So I overall enjoy it. I still think it's something to be explored, but yeah, I'm with you. I saw the Hera makeup eye thing and that. I'm like, here we go again. Like same thing with the Grand Inquisitor and da, da, da.
Yes.
And Cad Bane's hat. And I don't care. I don't care.
Cad Bane's hat? What?
I don't care about your opinions on it either. Like it's a double don't care. It's just shut up and watch the show. And so I'm with you. And then I don't want that. Then I'm stewing in anger juices and I don't want that. I don't want that either.
No, I don't want to marinate in that. I want to be fresh on the fryer, the Ahsoka fryer.
And again, to me, I'm at the point where it's like, what does this all say to you? Like, again, we're diving into Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You got fridge jokes? Great. Stuff them. Sit on them. I don't care. Tell me what the movie is about and what it means to you. And if it doesn't mean anything to you, tell me that. But I'm just over the snark and the simple stuff and the slight of it. And if you have strong opinions, you're listening now, you're like, well, I have a strong opinion about Hera. But I still don't care. I just got to the point where I don't care. And I just want to watch the show. And I just want to crawl around in it. And I'm excited too. I don't have any large plans to rewatch all Clone Wars. We did that at Force Center here, but Clone Wars is so many episodes and so many wonderful moments. I do feel I might do one of those. And sometimes Disney Plus does it of like, hey, here's the key Ahsoka episodes or the key Kenobi episodes. I might go watch that. I might do that. It might be fun just to kind of really catch up as well as, her appearances in Mando and Book of Boba Fett, just to get in the vibe. I love this character. I'm one of the folks who really, grew to, that change you always hear. Oh, she went from Snips to this. Like I was one of the, I don't like that Snips kid. And now, definitely, I almost have to be reminded, if that makes sense, Jen, I almost have to be reminded how much I love this character. So many new characters have popped up. There's been so many discussions. And again, I think I got Ashley Eckstein versus Rosario Dawson, the look of Ahsoka and Mando versus the look of the show. I think that's the kind of stuff where I do get affected and I start to like, I don't even want to hear the name Ahsoka anymore. I want to pull back from that. And then I realized, oh, wait, that's right. She's a great character who's had so many moments that have affected me. And I need to go reconnect with that and remind myself of that before the series begins, right. Not the link of her, Montrails. Sorry.
Oh, the Montrails. Oh, right. Montrails,
Leku. Hera's Leku. Ahsoka's Montrails. Anyways, hope that wasn't a rant when you're out there listening. But I just really agree with you, Jen. It's not about shutting out negativity or bad reviews or negative reviews. I need my soul to be at peace to enjoy this.
Exactly. Yeah. The Jedi way.
The Jedi way, indeed. The announcement came with a short trailer, not a ton of new footage, but a highlight, one that was going around the internet. And I do watch that stuff, and I do like to see people get excited, was Sabine using Ezra's lightsaber to battle Ivana Sokno's character, Shin Hati. Thoughts on that, the trailer overall, that reveal, seeing Ezra's lightsaber, the one at the end of the Rebel series. And Sabine, again, knows a way around a blade with the darksaber. What did you think about all that, Jen?
First of all, I love that they used a female voice for the voiceover. That was surprising to me, which it shouldn't be, right? But it is, because you don't often hear a female voiceover associated with Star Wars or really like any superhero sci-fi kind of projects in general. Yeah. So that I thought was really cool and very intentional. So that was number one. The moment with Sabine holding Ezra's lightsaber, it was a moment that was revealed at Celebration. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
To
be honest, like I saw it going around this week as wow. And I was like, I thought I'd seen that before.
Yeah. So I guess it was, but to me it was brand new. So I can only imagine how that played in person. I bet people went crazy, because I went crazy when I saw it. And I saw people online. That's a moment that people are very, very excited about. You know, one of the challenges with this show, which Dave Filoni has said, is that a lot of people know Ahsoka. They know the story of Sabine, Hera, but there's also a lot of people who don't know these characters. So the challenge is, how do you bridge these two audiences into this show? And we'll have to see if they were able to pull it off. But like, that's a moment where us fans were like, whoa, the lightsaber. And if you don't know whose lightsaber that is or whatever, right, you might just be like, oh, she's holding a lightsaber. Yeah. Like, what's that about, right? So that's going to be interesting to see how it plays on those two different levels.
That's a great note there. Yeah, we were talking about that last week. It's in the Empire magazine article. Filoni saying, kind of saying, hey, Ahsoka's kind of the perfect character to do that. Some people don't know her. Some people know her from this. They know her from that. And here we go. And it's in their minds. But yeah, here we are. We're excited for it. I love the character Sabine Wren. I think the stuff with the darksaber in Rebels is some of the best Star Wars storytelling out there. And it's deep, and it's way more emotional than maybe if you remember it, if you haven't visited it for a while. So Sabine on this search for Ezra, Sabine with his lightsaber, Sabine wielding a saber of any kind is great. I'm excited about that. There's got to be a lot of people out there going, oh, cool, new Jedi.
Exactly.
I don't know if create false expectations, but they'll get it right away. But it's just something to consider and something that this show is, I don't want to say up against. I think it's going to do well. But and again, they're aware of it, so they'll explain it. But it's just, yeah, I think that's a great point. Funny reaction. People going, oh, cool. No, oh, you like that Jedi? That's not a Jedi. Well, what do you mean? She got a lightsaber. Well, no. She's fighting someone with a red blade, right? It's orange. Well, it's red. It's a Sith. It's one of those things. But right. At the end of the day, Jen, it's exciting. That's why a lot of people, I have one friend who's a comic. Anytime a new Star Wars show comes out or an episode airs, and there isn't a giant lightsaber fight featured in it, he just goes on Facebook and posts, Star Wars is about lightsabers, nothing more. Why don't they get this? And so maybe they'll be happy.
They'll definitely be happy. Yep. A lot of lightsabers.
Yeah. Themes, things presented in this trailer. We had a lot of talk last week about what the show could be about, including this big idea of not just Ahsoka starting over, but having been alone for so long, walking a path that was a little bit more solitary than her past, and kind of going, well, maybe it's time to get out there again. I likened it to lockdown, pandemic, COVID, all those kind of things where just, you know, again, I don't think Dave is explicitly dealing with that in the story, but it tracks for me for what we all kind of went through. So I'm intrigued by that. And this is a 30-second trailer spot, nothing new there, but anything jump out to you, Jen?
That's actually a really great point and something that I've been thinking about a lot lately is like when you become so isolated and you get used to that kind of loneliness, right? You live with it. How do you then break through the fear of opening yourself back up again to being around people? And to just even being able to talk to people. I sometimes have a hard time. Like, I'm not used to it. I'm being in person and chatting with people without my mask on. At times I say things and it feels very, very awkward, right? And I can only imagine Ahsoka's journey of leading such a lonely life and how she's going to have to open herself back up, presumably when she reunites with Sabine. And that's kind of what Dave Filoni mentioned in that, like you said, in that Empire magazine about at this point in her story, she's a wanderer. She's been burned basically. And she is wary of institutions and organizations. So she's going to have a lot to overcome to trust again. And that I think is what we're going to be dealing with throughout this series.
Yeah. And I think, that Professor Huang line of maybe it's time to begin again is one of the core theme line so far in the marketing that I'm really gravitating to. So it's exciting. I'll say this on the late August timeframe. I enjoy that. I'm glad it's not like August 1st or something that.
Yes.
It's been a busy time for all of us, not just here at Force Center, but those out there in the world. And I feel sometimes maybe because especially Force Center's point of view on Star Wars and defending the joy of everyone, not just the series and the franchise and the companies that make it, but the joy of the fans who love this stuff. I sometimes hate to admit that, hey, I need a little bit of a break. I don't want to have to watch this right now and do two-hour deep dives on it or read the comics and books. Sometimes I just want to go have chips and salsa at a restaurant and not worry about anything Star Wars related and kind of in that period of time.
Right, and there with you.
And I think sometimes I'm afraid if I admit that someone's going to jump out of the woodwork here and be like, see Star Wars malaise, you're burnt out. I'm like, no, I'm not burnt out. I'm not burnt about Star Wars. I hope this never goes away and this will never go away. But when I saw that August 23rd, I went, oh, okay. We got about another month before we dive in deep.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the artist's way, right? Like that's what they tell actors. Like, don't hold so on so tightly to like, you have to memorize, you have to do this, you have to do that. Mm-hmm. Just let it go and live your life. That's what's going to make you a better actor, better human. And I feel like it makes me a better Star Wars fan when I'm just living my life and Star Wars comes in and it's like that delightful dessert that shows up. It's not like I have to clutch it all the time and experience it all the time. It kind of takes the joy out of it. You know what I mean?
It does. Too much of a good thing, right? As they say. But this is going to be a great thing. I'm really excited for this series. And I mentioned last week, I touched upon it. I'll touch upon it again just to drive it home. Like, I think over the years, because of the cult of personality that can sometimes emerge around creators, Filoni experienced that. And that wasn't something he asked for. It was just something that was given to him. And I had built up a little bit of a resentment to that cult of Filoni and make my jokes about the man in the cowboy hat. But at the end of the day, he's someone who just loves Star Wars. He gets it. And I love listening to him talk about it. And I need to be reminded about how much I really, really love the character of Ahsoka. I really need to be reminded about what was in the Clone Wars and Rebels and how much does come from Dave and others and Jennifer Corbett and Bad Batch and Henry Gilroy, the early days of Clone Wars and all the wonderful people that work with him. And Dave would be the first to give them credit, as they always say. But I have to be honest too. Sometimes the cowboy hat cult kind of got me a little bit. And I've been excited to hear his words, just like I'm excited to hear Leslie Headland's words about Star Wars, because I agree with every word she says about the franchise. When Dave talks, I'm reading an article, I'm nodding my head going, yep, that's it. Mm. That's why we're here. And I'm excited to see that all stretched out into a series.
Hear, hear. Well said.
All right. Well, Jen, we did it. Joseph got a much deserved day off. You got a much deserved stretch of time off. And we are done talking Star Wars news. So thanks for being here today. I'll let, like you're a guest, this is your home.
I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having me. Working on my schedule.
No, all good. I'll tell you all where you can find us. We're on Twitter, Force Center Pod. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We are on YouTube. Subscribe there. We will have a monthly live Q&A In June at some point. Stay tuned for that information. We're on Instagram as well. Podcast is Acast, as on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search to find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/4Center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/4Center. Follow me at Ken Nabsock or go to kennabsock.com. I am finally lining up some new comedy dates, including some stuff with Mark Ellis in other parts of this great nation. So stay tuned for that. Early tip is if you're in New York for New York Comic Con and you want to see some comedy, we might have something cooking for you there. But information on my website. Jen, tell them where they can find and follow you, all your TikTok videos, all the things you do, including shooting B-roll.
That's right. I'm shooting B-roll of Carrie Fisher's star. You can find all of that on Instagram at Jennifer Landa, TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. And like I said, I'm frantically working on my Jedi Beat episodes. So be sure to subscribe to our 4Center YouTube channel.
Yes, do that. Do that, my friends. Do that. All right. That is it. So for Ahsoka, for the man in the cowboy hat, who we do love, and all you outlaws out there, we'll see you next time here on 4Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.